Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Today is the National Day of Prayer, and I have a story for you that really illustrates how prayer works and echoes through history. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is an incredible story about how prayer can literally change a nation, change, in fact, the world.
You know, Matt, you can't talk about it without getting chills to see God's hand in a person's life.
Well, prior to the Second World War, two elderly sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith, had begun to pray for revival on the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, approximately 50 miles off the coast of Scotland. Mm-hmm. One was blind, and one was hunched over with spinal stenosis, but they had a passion for revival, and they wanted God to work.
And they couldn't leave the house because of their physical condition. So people who had the same passion for revival started coming to their house and meeting with them and praying.
Yeah, their house became a place to meet, and people gathered with them. They prayed earnestly for revival. The Smith sisters persuaded their pastor to invite an evangelist named Duncan Campbell to come to their island and preach the gospel. He had been ministering in the area around Edinburgh, Scotland, and initially resisted the call.
It took him three times to finally accept the call. Three times.
On the third invitation, he finally accepted. Over the following years, he then traveled from village to village on the Isle of Lewis, preaching the word with power, and many people were converted according to a biography regarding this particular evangelist.
And they saw the fire of God take over, Matt. The Holy Spirit just awakened that island. From 1940 to 1953 became known as the Lewis Awakening or Hebrides Revival.
Yeah, other accounts have dated it between 1949 and 52. So anywhere right in that time frame, there was a teenage boy who got saved in the revival by the name of Donald John Smith. The preacher became so dependent on Donald that he would ask him to lead the public prayers and help him with the meetings. And on the same island, a young cousin of Donald's, Mary Ann, grew up and immigrated to America in 1930, arriving one day after her 18th birthday.
She came with only $50 to her name and worked as a domestic servant, living with her older sister on Long Island.
And she met a man by the name of Fred. They fell in love, and they were married. The two older women, who were her aunts,
Peggy and Christine,
Mary Ann, a copy of the Bible that had been used in the special way at the Hebrides Revival. So this Bible actually had been used in a special way during the revival.
So these two aunts sent to Mary Ann this Bible.
Comes to America. Mm-hmm. Fred and Mary Ann's fourth child was named after someone special in her family, Donald John Smith.
Young teenage boy.
Yeah, and she named him, she also had an uncle by the name of Donald. Mary Ann gave her son the Hebrides Revival Bible. And he is now the 45th president of the United States of America. And that revival Bible is now in the Oval Office of the White House.
I get chills just hearing it every time I hear it. And of course, that was the same Bible he placed his hand on during his inauguration ceremony.
Yeah, it was with the historic Lincoln Bible resting underneath. So he had the Lincoln Bible on top of it. It was the Bible that had been given to him from the Hebrides Revival. Some have wondered about the Bible's possible connection to this historical moment and whether a great awakening and revival will break out during the president's time in office. You know, today is the National Day of Prayer.
And we are called to pray for our president and our leaders and our nation.
Yeah, and today we're called to pray. The National Day of Prayer is a time set aside each year where the president actually issues a proclamation. And typically we have a meeting in Washington, D.C. for that National Day of Prayer. On Sunday, this past Sunday, May the 3rd, which also was Reopen Church Sunday, one of the reasons why we chose that day. And we have a website, reopenchurch.org, to encourage pastors to begin the process of adding in-person worship services. And that is all set forth on reopenchurch.org or lc.org.
You know, Matt, going back to the story that we just shared, the evangelist Duncan Campbell was, before everything else, a man of prayer and almost invariably started the day with a period of prayer and study of the Bible. He said, revival is a community saturated with God. He witnessed firsthand the Spirit of God descending upon a community and learned to let the Holy Spirit have his way. In his own words, he said 75% of the people were gloriously saved before they came near a meeting. The power of God was moving. So we need to see that same power of God moving in this nation again.
Yeah, and Duncan Campbell actually became a visiting lecturer at YWAM School of Evangelism in Lucerne, in Switzerland. He died while lecturing there, and he was outspoken about two aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. The first was that, in his view, a true revival was a move of God that affected not only church members, but the surrounding community in a way that was visible to all parties concerned. In this case, work stopping, bars closing, crime ceasing, etc.
Right.
And the second was the definite and profound experience of the baptism by the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was moving among these individuals and changing people's lives. His practice in evangelistic meetings was to not make a usual altar call, but to invite people to come to another room to pray and seek God. It is amazing. His ministry transcended denominational boundaries. And so it's amazing where he says it needs to impact the community.
Right.
That the Holy Spirit needs to change you in a way that revival breaks out, that you're changed by the Holy Spirit in such a way that people, not just those in the church, but the surrounding community is impacted. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he's leaving, he's telling his disciples while he's still on earth before the crucifixion that he will leave and he's going to go prepare a place for us. He says, but don't be troubled, because I'm going to send you the Comforter, what we call the Paraclete. Comforter is, in Greek, the Paraclete. It is to be called beside, your advocate. It's like an attorney, an advocate, to be called beside. It's like the advocate is beside you, and you don't have to worry about what to say or do. Your advocate is there to speak on your behalf. And he says that you've seen these miracles be done during the time I'm here on earth, but you'll have even greater power when the Spirit comes. And, you know, sometimes the church, we sometimes walk around like we're just timid little creatures, and don't get humility mixed up for the fact that we serve the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He has sent his Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be a witness, to be our helper, to be our advocate.
Who empowers us.
Empowers us, transforms us, transforms the world. And that's what revival really is, to be transformed internally. Our whole life is turned around from darkness to light, from hopelessness to hope. And then that can't but help transform the world around
us. Right, but we must first start in humble prayer, humbling ourselves before Him, repenting of our sin, and praying for God to fill us, the Holy Spirit to fill us, and then to pray for our nation. And, you know, we talked about that story, the spiritual heritage of President Trump. We definitely need to be praying for him, for his administration, for all those leaders.
Yeah, and, you know, Campbell says revival is a community saturated with God.
Yes.
I mean, that's a powerful statement. And we have said before, you know, when this whole issue about is the church essential or is it not essential? Well, in some cases, maybe the church isn't viewed as essential by people who are outside of our community of believers.
And why is that, we should ask?
And we have to make sure that what we do as Christians and as a body of people, that we are transformed. And the only way to do that is to press into the Lord, read His Word, commune with Him daily, and stay close to the Lord. and the community of believers likewise. But then that community needs to transform the community so much that when the lights are turned off, when the doors of the church are closed, it is so critically essential that the community groans in its absence. That's the kind of essential church that the Lord is looking for. This is the National Day of Prayer, and I encourage you to pray for America, pray for our elected leaders, and also pray for the church. Pray for revival to happen in this country. What Satan has intended for evil, God can turn around and change it for incredible good. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776.